Welcome to Peas in a Podcast, starring...
What's my name?
Boots.
Boots?
Isn't that what you wanted to be called?
No, well, your name is Munchkin.
No, it's not.
What about Turtle Chicken?
Turtle Chicken is my name.
Or Chicken Bear.
It's a creep.
Did you just write yellow marker on me?
No, I've been trying to do that all day. You think I did it right now while you're looking?
I just know you want to mark a big smiley face.
You don't
want
to play the game where you close your eyes for 10 minutes and see what happens.
Yeah, I still don't want to play that game. And I'm not going to want to play that game for a long time.
All right, let's leave this nonsense behind us.
We have returned and embark to you, listener. This podcast
inaugural.
Is for you.
Now, what I was wondering about on my calendar was Election Day today. Was there an election? Because I didn't vote, and I feel bad.
Or was that Tuesday?
Yes.
I know it's Doomsday for the CTA.
I wonder, was my calendar off a whole year?
It may be off a whole hour.
Because normally November 2nd, what's the date today?
6th? November 6th, 2007?
That November and Tuesday is Election Day, but... Whatever. I was
very
confused.
Possibly.
I was very confused, and I was wondering if I needed to go to the polls, but no one was talking about it.
Well, so. Obviously, it's not a major election involving a senator, Republican, or president.
I don't know what it was.
Gubernatorial. So it could be a state representative or a local representative, which doesn't really matter anyway, because we're in Chicago, and the government's run by the mob.
Oh, Democrats win every time.
The stupid union people in our building come and do the drilling and construction in the middle of the day. Like, all these guys come in with ladders and overalls and start doing work in the office for no reason whatsoever.
Really.
I guess every building downtown Chicago has a union.
That's great.
I guess it's a fallout from all that stuff that happened. Pollsters and Teamsters and
union. Doomsday.
Yep, today is Doomsday.
Another sign of mismanagement of money in Chicago.
Yes. It's only $3 to ride the bus downtown
for
a mile.
Month, and then in January, it's going to be $3.25, which I would...
$3.25 to ride a freaking old bus a mile.
I would say it's probably the highest rate of public transportation in the world, possibly.
And...
One of the highest, for sure. I think it's the highest in the U.S. now. I haven't done my research... But of the places I've been that are expensive cities, it's been cheaper.
Yeah. Well, if you go, like, per capita, it's probably the lowest quality, considering there's not that many stops.
I mean, the
L is very elegant and very dirty.
Elegant? What are you talking about?
Well, it's kind of cool that it's, like, a wooden elevated track that runs over the streets and down around the loop.
Oh, if you look at it from a distance.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Oh, well.
I don't think it's elegant.
But when you get up close, it's got grime all over it. All the panels are rotten. I feel like I'm going to fall through the floor if I go in the wrong spot. I do love Chicago.
We do.
The Red Line's not too bad. Brown Line's not too bad.
No, it gets you from point A to point B. Close your eyes.
What's your favorite L of all the lines?
I like the purple one because that's what I was the first one I rode.
Yeah.
I don't ride the other ones that much. The Blue Line actually is the nicest train, I think, that I ride.
Yeah, that might be the nicest train. I hate to be cliche. Red Line's pretty good. Brown Line's probably my favorite.
I mean, the Red Line goes to all the places we like to go.
Brown Line goes to a lot of nice places, but we don't go to those places.
We don't go to those places, though.
Red Line's most useful, but the Brown Line I like a lot. The underline stations are kind of gross.
Yeah, they are.
Oh, well.
Oh, well, that wasn't on our agenda of topics.
Yeah, that was just a sidetrack to warm you up to the Peas in the Podcast, featuring Tracy and Wyatt.
Two Peas in the Podcast.
Yeah.
Well, there's only two Peas right now in this podcast.
Well, we're leaving it open and calling it Peas in the Podcast.
That way we can have more people.
The title
join
went
us.
Back to Jonathan Schwartz, who came up with the idea during our wedding reception.
Yes, he did.
So it has that legacy.
It does.
So that's a little bit of trivia for all our dedicated
loyal
listeners.
Listeners.
Whoever you may be, if you exist. Well, I heard that our last podcast was a success. Success.
Success.
Yeah, glossolalia. So
it
we
was interesting. That was a lot of interesting stuff in that.
Yeah, talking about the movies and stuff. So we decided we're going to talk about some more movies.
Oh, we're going to start with movies?
No, we were going to talk about Iowa first, and then move on to movies. And then we're going to talk about some random theological nonsense at the end.
Okay.
Whatever that may be.
Sure. We'll see if we
can. Do you want to do the kickoff?
Okay.
Hike! You're loving it.
What's that?
How's
Holiday
Row. Oh, Holiday Road.
This is our Iowa song. we sing this in the car.
Chevy Chase's family vacation.
Oh, we gotta rent that. We watched part of it last time we were in Seattle in the hotel lobby.
It was pretty funny.
It was funny. Good times in the car with animals.
Dragging the dog behind the car in a leash. So, Tracy and I...
we have made another foray into the state of Iowa.
I love corn.
I do love corn, too. We saw sheep this time, too. That was exciting.
There are sheep in Iowa. That's true.
We had a really beautiful drive. We went through Grant Wood Country, Cedar Rapids, and... yeah.
American Gothic.
Yeah, American Gothic land.
Galena and Dubuque.
Northern Iowa.
So we were on our sojourning to the 20th wedding this year. It's a...
maybe not this year, maybe the last 2 years.
Over the last year. this one was in Cedar Rapids. So Tracy had some excursion with her work, so we spent a day in Iowa City.
We did. We hit up Davenport on our way there.
We're getting a really good idea of allowing to have a good time in Iowa. If anybody can.
We have a great time.
I do like Iowa.
You do.
There's definitely a good way to go and a bad way to go. Like the Quad Cities.
We had some good food there.
Yeah, we actually did, because there's more people there.
We've been there a few times in this
Davenport, I think. We had the most luck.
Quad Cities didn't hold. We've had some bad luck in, because there's nothing going on.
What is your opinion of the Quad Cities as a whole? I mean, only half of them are in Iowa, so...
well, it's a good place to stop for dinner on your travels through I-80. It's a dead river town.
On the 74. Yeah.
There's not a lot of economy bustling and booming there, so there's not a lot of... there's some strip malls. There's TJ Maxx, which I love.
There's Riverboat Casino.
Riverboat Casino, which we did hit up last time after the wedding.
Woo! I don't think I was awake.
With our friend's parents.
We went and checked it out. Tracy and I aren't gamblers.
I don't know what came over us. We're just, they were all going to the casino.
Well, we were just having a good time at the wedding, so we just didn't want to go to bed.
We like to do phase two, usually.
Phase two!
We're always up for a good time.
I don't want to explain what that means, but we'll call it phase two.
I think people know what it means. It's for the people that don't want to go to sleep at night.
Yeah, party people. We just don't go to phase three, which is
bad. Phase three is bad. Phase three is not good.
Phase two is okay. Phase three is not good. You go to bed. You shouldn't even go to phase two, but phase three, nix.
Yeah, well.
So I was thinking in the Quad Cities, just to name them.
We did sushi there. In Iowa.
In Davenport.
It was good. In Davenport.
And Vietnamese pho.
And Vietnamese pho, which was also quality.
That wasn't off the 70.
We did Texas Roadhouse, which is your...
the chains. That's not too bad. We went to Granite City.
We did to Granite City, which is an upscale...
little pretentious.
I'm surprised how expensive it was for Iowa. The meals were like $20 a plate or something. I'm like, whoa.
It was good, but it was not worth the price.
No, but we were smart, and we split the steak salad. And it was worth it, because it was good.
Granite City's not so bad if you have someone to
split a meal with, exactly.
Yeah. So there's a lot going on in the Quad Cities. Davenport's definitely our favorite, just because it's probably the richest one.
Yeah, it's...
or the other.
It seems to have the most economy going on right now. Moline, Bettendorf. And Rock Island. Which I thought, for some reason, I thought Rock Island was happening, but definitely was not. I think I'm thinking of Rockford. Well, we didn't stop in Rockford either.
I think Rock Island was that northeast?
We went there.
Rock Island's in Illinois, right? Rock Island's in Illinois. Bettendorf.
Yeah.
Which is south.
No, Bettendorf's in Iowa.
Oh.
Moline is in Illinois.
So the north one, so going clockwise, it's Rock Island, Moline,
Davenport,
Bettendorf, clockwise.
Oh, clockwise.
Clockwise, starting Rock Island, Moline.
I want to say Davenport and then Bettendorf.
No, well, Davenport is northwest. Rock Island is northeast. Bettendorf is southeast on the Iowa side.
Okay,
Illinois
I don't
side.
Think people care about this too much. We need to move on.
Whatever. Yeah. So I think overall in the Quad Cities, it's just too spread out. People tend
yeah.
to...
Yeah.
I think they build new buildings.
It took a long time for us to drive around there to get to places.
It's quite a large area with not a lot of people. So it seems like people just abandon buildings and build new ones. And it just leaves a lot of the area that seem kind of depressed and abandoned. So, I mean, I guess if you have a car, you can drive quite a ways. But we're used to Chicago, where we go downstairs and everything's within one block. You walk everywhere, you know. So to us, it was quite a stretch of
yeah,
our legs.
Yeah, I'm used to it, but it was a little bit.
So
I mean, Pella's like that.
Davenport's, no, Pella's a very beautiful town.
No, it's beautiful. I mean, I'm saying it's like... Everything's within a block of each
other. Yeah, Pella, you can walk around. Well, you can't. Yeah, you could.
You could.
It's
you
a
really
little
could.
Bit of a stretch, but you can.
You could.
Like the grocery stores and stuff.
Especially
are
if you live downtown,
a
Pella, you could walk everywhere.
But it's not a big deal for Tracy and I to walk a mile in Chicago.
Exactly. Well, we need to move on to the next city because we got a bunch of them to cover. I mean, we spent some time in Iowa City, which we usually stop at.
We love Iowa City.
We've probably talked about it on the podcast before.
University really keeps that
town
alive.
We stayed in a sweet Marriott. If you ever stay Iowa City, stay at the brand new Marriott there.
Right off of 80.
That thing would probably easily be a $300 hotel if it wasn't in Iowa. It's only $100.
And a really nice pool.
$140 a night.
And hot tub. Regal carpet. And brand new.
You could plug your computer into the TV. And
you can plug
your
iPod
into
the wall.
Yeah, you could get all your surround sound.
Yeah, it was nice.
They get a little gift bag when you came in that you drew out of if you're a Silver Club member like me.
Yeah. Tracy's good at... She is the connoisseur of fine deals. That's her official title.
That is my official title.
And we didn't pay for this hotel.
We didn't.
Because Tracy is a connoisseur of fine deals.
I know what the hookups are.
Yeah. So we did that, and I hung out on Friday, and Tracy went to the University of Iowa.
Yep.
What do you think of the University of Iowa?
I mean, I've stayed there before for camp, summer camps and whatnot, but I was impressed by the career services building. It was nice.
It's not quite as big as other Big Ten schools, but it's beautiful.
Yeah,
I thought.
Beautiful. It's fall, so I think everything's beautiful in the fall too. But
yeah,
all the leaves are changing. It's got a nice hill. It's right. It's close to downtown Iowa City, which is actually really not. I mean. Similar to Evanston, downtown. I mean, not
it's
really
got,
quite,
it's,
but
it's
almost.
It's a collegiate town. So.
It's a collegiate town, yeah.
It's got coffee shops and restaurants and people. Like,
people
it's a lively downtown.
Yeah, people are out walking around, hanging out at places.
Which is not a lot of towns that are like that in Midwest or Americana, where you actually have people downtown hanging out.
Yeah, it's nice.
Which I like a lot.
I like it, too.
They love Abraham Lincoln.
I love football. I love Iowa Hawkeye football.
Why do they love Abraham Lincoln so much?
And Abraham Lincoln.
Lincoln from Iowa?
Lincoln's from Illinois. I don't know why.
Reagan's from Illinois.
Reagan's from Illinois, too.
Where's Lincoln from?
Illinois. Land of Lincoln, Illinois.
Then why did Iowa care about
Hoover's
Lincoln?
Herbert Hoover's from Iowa.
I don't know
what that's about.
I like coffee shops, so I went to Java House and the Terrapin. There was another one, too, that... I was thinking it was like Clinton.
We
stopped
Java House.
It's
pretty
yeah,
nice.
Terrapin was okay. I mean, it's a college town. They're decent.
Yeah.
So I hung out at those places while Tracy did her recruiting. And then we moved on and drove about 30 minutes north to Cedar Rapids.
Yeah. Cedar Rapids, home of Grant Wood.
Is it?
Home of Zach, some golfer. What was that guy Vince knew? I don't know his name. Zach Johnson or something.
He's like a pro golfer.
I know. I don't know who he is.
Yeah.
Cedar Rapids. We stayed in the downtown 1970s revival hotel.
Yeah.
Crown Plaza Five Seasons.
It had a Minneapolis-esque
feeling. Priceline it, for sure, which is what we did. Yeah, I mean, they did have a Minneapolis field with the Skywalks, but it was dead. I mean, there was no one out hardly.
Even Minneapolis isn't that dead.
No, Minneapolis, there's people out.
A lot of people walk on the Skywalks in there, so it's hard to tell.
No, Minneapolis has a lot more going on downtown.
It was definitely abandoned downtown, except for the Blue Strawberry Cafe.
Quaker Oats. Yeah, the Blue Strawberry Cafe was pretty cool.
Highly recommended. Downtown, second and...
First. First and second corner. Yeah. First and second.
It's like First Avenue and Second Street. It's like right in the center of downtown.
We made our way to the Czechoslovakian village, which I've been talking all about right. forever.
It was like Zietrich. It starts with a Z. Zietrich.
Zendrix.
Zendrix,
yeah. Yeah. I think it's worth a stop at.
I got the goulash.
Don't get the cabbage roll.
Yours was okay.
It was okay.
You weren't that hungry. It was the goulash unique. Was
we
pretty good.
We had chicken liver dumpling soup, which was actually not as bad as I thought it was going to be.
I ordered that.
You did order it. It wasn't
too I liked good. It. I just wasn't hungry
I liked
enough.
It, too.
I was full from the Blue Strawberry in the morning.
Yeah. And they gave you homemade applesauce.
I asked him, what does the Blue Strawberry mean?
Potato dumplings.
And they said it was some, like, bar in Ireland.
Yeah, they liked Ireland
Shannon
there.
Shannon or something. It failed. And I'm like, oh, really? And they're like, well, and also the red strawberry was taken.
Blue strawberry is so much better than red
slap
strawberry.
Slap your knee. Slap your grandma. Shut your mouth wide open. That's what it means. There's two of them. Blue strawberry one and two.
Yeah, so everything's going on in the suburbs of Cedar Rapids.
Yeah, it has the typical suffering of urban sprawl.
TJ Maxx, which I finally got my evergreen candles.
Again, TJ Maxx, Barnes & Noble, Panera Bread, Target.
Panera Bread, BW3.
All those things that are a few miles away from the downtown. Typical suffering of America's warehouse.
It's a love-hate relationship, I think.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm thinking.
Tracy made a good point. This is the society we live in. We have to deal with it.
I like the cheap stuff, but at the same time, I don't need the cheap stuff, so it's expensive. I wouldn't go buy it. Exactly.
Yeah.
Darn you, TJ Maxx, and your cheap candles.
It's an existential crisis. Question meaning, do we really stand up for what is right? What is right? Or we go for what's cheap? So many options. So
we
much time, so little to do.
Some Americana.
Willy Wonka
we
said.
Had some fried cheese balls and local brews.
Yeah.
With our friends after the wedding.
Yeah. Third base, I think.
Third base. Yeah, it was a nice little local place.
It was formerly Cedar Brewing.
I like local
homemade.
Places.
Okay, not to get out of control. So we stayed downtown, Crown Plaza, which is nice. Downtown is abandoned. Went north on Blair's Ferry. A lot of stuff at Blair's Ferry, including a brewing company called Cedar Rapids Brewing Company, which changed its name to Third Base. So we went to Third Base twice.
Twice.
Unfortunately.
It wasn't planned. It wasn't planned.
There wasn't a lot of places you really could go otherwise in Hiawatha. So we went to Cedar Rapids for a wedding for a friend of ours.
Right.
And after the wedding, Tracy's high school friend all went out to Third Base.
That's right.
On Blair's Ferry. And they brewed their own beers. The Golden Hawkeye beer was nice. They had some other beers and things like that. Drink responsibly.
That's right. Have some deep fried food when you're there because it's quality. Yeah, it was quality.
And eat the
deep fried
cheese responsibly.
Deep fried cheese. It was some quality deep-fried cheese.
So we did that. We had a good, jolly old time with our friends. And, okay. Moving on. After we had completed our voyage.
Four-way.
And all the other things we did in Cedar Rapids, we moved on to Dubuque.
We decided to take the scenic and slightly longer route home.
On Route 51.
Which was worth it, I think.
/20.
It was a beautiful drive amongst the Pastua land, idyllic countryside of Iowa.
How is it better than US 80?
Oh my goodness. Well, besides it being the fall and all the trees are changing colors, there's cows roaming in these just picturesque landscapes with little bushes.
Yeah.
Just out of a picture, out of a Grant Wood picture. Pretty cool silos and barns.
Well, you have to understand, even Iowa's flat, but has some
hills. Oh, and the hills.
But with US 80, they plow through the hills.
They do plow through the hills.
So there's like mounds of dirt and stuff on the side with overgrown grass. So you can't always see the field quite as well.
Right.
But if you take the scenic route, like we took 151,
you do have to go through some towns.
It
really
goes
slow
on top of the hill, and you do have to wind through some towns. But
towns
you get to
are
see
really
all the
nice.
Barns
yeah.
and farm equipment. There are hay bales everywhere. There are cows and barns and
it
all
felt
kinds
like the
of little
countryside
hills.
Of England, I think, a little bit.
There were some spots that had the English-esque landscape where the edges of the cornfield have little bushes and trees that go around them.
Mm-hmm.
And things were a little bit darker, green and brown from being later in the season. So you're right, it did have the English-esque.
That's what I thought.
Have you ever been to England?
No.
Not New England, England, like London.
No.
Okay.
I've been to New England. We went through Galena, which is probably one of the more famous towns of Illinois.
On the Mississippi.
Right on the border. They do a lot of antiquing there. And
that is definitely a road stop.
There's a ski resort. Oh, definitely, yeah.
It's right by the Mississippi. Right on the Mississippi River.
Tons of like really cute bed and breakfasts.
It's really hilly. Yeah.
Little cute restaurants. A lot of driving. You can go and do some hikes probably in the little forests around there.
You know, I'm really sad that I didn't have my nice camera because
there were some beautiful shots.
Some of those landscape shots would have been amazing.
Yeah, they would have.
But, like, we only had our cheap cameras. My really nice camera.
I thought you brought your camera. No, you didn't.
No,
did you?
I have a really nice SLR camera. It's a Nikon camera. The lens is actually a lot nicer than the body.
Right.
But it takes really, like, razor sharp pictures, which is great for landscapes because then you can almost see every blade of grass in the whole landscape. It just really just
makes
those kind of things come alive.
There was no traffic.
Yeah.
Another point to taking the roads versus the other I-80.
It's fun. Some points, like, as you go over the hills that go up and down, because, like, when you get near the Mississippi River, it gets really hilly.
Yeah.
Like, as you go over the hill, you can't see the cars in front of you even because it dips down so fast. So it's really actually kind of a fun drive.
It was.
And, like, there's not enough people to really back up the traffic.
Right.
Compared to Chicago.
Even are Amish people.
Because when we got back to Chicago, there was 5 lanes of gridlock at 4 o'clock on Sunday afternoon.
Oh. That's right. Oh, Iowa.
So, Dubuque.
Dubuque.
So what do you do in Dubuque?
Dubuque, we stopped at a coffee shop downtown.
Coffee shop slash
pizzeria. Brick oven pizzeria.
Clay oven.
Unique. Yeah, it was pretty good. I would have liked to try the pizza, but I was too full from our souffle at Panera, which we love. Thanks to your mom. But Dubuque is definitely a lot more happening than other Iowa towns downtown. Like, well, similar to Pella, it's got a lot of commerce downtown, a lot of restaurants and little businesses that are still alive. And I looked on Wikipedia, and it said they were building a whole new, like, young condo area down in Dubuque. So that's something. They're actually revitalizing their downtown area versus... They do have casinos, but the casino hasn't sucked the life out of everything else, like Davenport in the Quad Cities.
Besides the college town, you can definitely tell.
And it's a college town, too.
Well.
Kind of. I mean, Grandview doesn't really count, but.
Not to shut you up.
You are shutting me up.
I know, but you're not listening to me. You never listen to me. You don't care about anything I say. I'm pouting. Anyways, I'm going to say that a lot of the towns in Iowa are more Christian towns. Because you can tell because on Sunday, it's quiet. Shut down. People are at home with their families. Because it's the Sabbath, or the Christian Sabbath.
Mm-hmm.
So, unlike maybe Iowa City, where it probably would have a lot going on because Pagan University. I went to Pagan University, so it's fine. I love it. But
so,
it was
any last
quiet.
Words about Iowa? Did we miss anything?
No, just to recap.
We could talk about the Amanas, but I think we've
done
enough.
On a 1 to 10, let's rate the cities we've visited. Davenport.
6.
Iowa City.
8.
And in terms of Iowa, 1 to the best of Iowa could ever
be. Oh, the best
be.
Of Iowa? Oh, then I'll give it probably a 9.
Okay. Cedar Rapids. Pella is 10. Because that's for Tracy's hometown.
That's right.
Cedar Rapids,
I'll give it a 6, too.
6. Dubuque.
7.
Galena. Technically in Illinois.
Technically in Illinois, but pretty much Iowa. I'll give it a 9 as well.
It would be We'll say 8 because it's not in Iowa.
Okay,
9
we'll give it an
if
8.
You consider it in Iowa.
Okay, we'll give it an 8. Fine.
Okay.
Amana's 10. I love Amana's.
You like Amana's?
I know the restaurant was not that good last time, but
cheesy.
I have so many memories for there from when I was little. We go in there all the time.
It feels like the Greenfield Village in Michigan. It just feels like they're paying people to
do that. It used
to
be good. The bread used to be really good until they manufactured it too much.
All those people do is sell fruit wines.
I love Amish people.
Trinkets. Brick-a-brack.
They're not Amish, but I still love Amish people. Anyway.
Knick-knacks and brick-a-brack.
I like the Amanas. I still would go back.
It's all right.
It's okay. We got to try a different
restaurant. It's good for a one-time thing if you want to try the free...
The free fruit wines
strawberry
is kind of
wines.
Fun, yeah.
Oh, yeah. How about Des Moines?
Oh, Des Moines? 6.
Okay.
Des Moines I'm not thrilled about. I'll give it a 5. It's just a pain.
For its size, it should
so
be a lot better.
Sprawling. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Segment 2.
Segment 2. We good on time?
Sure.
We don't want to cut our listeners off.
We're at 26 minutes.
All right.
Tick.
Movies?
Movies.
Our movie review. Should we get into anime first?
Yeah, let's do the anime. We're going to do an anime segment on Miyazaki, because that's our favorite
have
anime.
Have we talked about anime? I think we have. But oh well. It's been so long.
Because Tracy and I are eggs. White on the outside, yellow on the inside.
Maybe.
And when it comes to anime, we
are. That just reminds me, I have some bacon and eggs in the fridge I need to use up.
So, let's talk about 3 movies. No. I'm going to mention Spirited Away, if you've never seen Miyazaki, but we won't talk about that.
Okay.
But let's talk about, let's not talk about Princess Mononoke, because you should see that one, too.
That's not one we've watched.
But we're not
going
to talk about that right now.
We watched recently
Nausicaa
and the Valley of the Wind, which
well,
I
we will talk
heard
about
before.
And we'll talk about
Castle in the Sky.
Castle in the Sky, because those are the last two
those
are the ones we just saw
seen.
Recently.
Yes.
So, out of all the Miyazaki movies, which ones are the best?
Spirited Away.
Then?
Princess Mononoke.
Then?
Is Princess Mononoke? Yeah, it is. Ooh, what's next?
We saw Totoro. Probably
Totoro,
not.
No. Totoro's okay.
There was Howl's Moving Castle.
Howl's Moving Castle. Actually, I kind of liked Howl's Moving Castle. I know you didn't like it as much, but I like that one. Nausicaa and the Wind, I probably would have liked if I wouldn't have fallen asleep for part of it.
You really missed out.
Yeah, I did. I should watch it again.
Okay, you give your top 3, I'll give my top 3.
All right, well, Spirited Away, Princess Mononoke, and Howl's Moving Castle.
Mine would probably be Princess Mononoke, Spirited Away, and what's my third one?
Nausicaa, probably.
Nausicaa and the Valley of the Wind.
Can't put Grave of the Fireflies in there because it's not Miyazaki.
The movie was the most depressing anime or depressing movie ever.
It really was. And how can you make a cartoon the most depressing movie ever? Watch the movie and you will agree.
Grave of Fireflies.
I would say it's worth watching it.
Just if you want to
be depressed.
You know, we bought that candy in Japan.
I bought that candy in Japan before I saw that movie. And now I don't want it anymore.
I want it.
Actually, I want it too. I gave it for Christmas present.
Okay. Let's talk about Nausicaa, Valley of the Wind, just because you don't remember too much about it. It was just really crazy. I mean, it had a lot of, like, evolutionary stuff going
really?
On. Yeah. You don't really remember it.
I don't remember it very well at all.
Well, what I really enjoyed about it is because the culture was so strange to us, especially being, you know, westernized. That, like, the first half of the movie, I just didn't know what's going on. Like, if you were watching...
I didn't know what was going on either.
It's definitely one of those movies, like, if you watch it a second time through, it wouldn't be that interesting. Or if you already knew the culture and stuff, it might not be that interesting. But if you're not, like, familiar with anime...
I wonder if there were some undertones of World War II in there, because there's a lot about the world being destroyed and they couldn't breathe anymore. Sort of like the atomic bomb fallout.
Yeah. A lot of them have themes of, like, robots who destroy things, it has the grandmother character,
well,
the boy and the girl.
Elements to it.
Then all the Shintoism like crazy.
Yeah.
Not directly, but indirectly.
No, it's undercones of all anime.
Yeah, it's definitely got the Japanese
religions. The
bathhouse
is really sweet from Spirited
Away.
Spirited Away. Because we love bathhouses.
But as for Nausicaa of the Valley Wind, it kind of reminded me of all the Final Fantasy games I used
oh,
to
really?
Play as a kid. But it was a little bit different. And a lot of it was just really interesting. That one had a heroine.
That was interesting. That was a lot like Princess Mononoke.
He always has a heroine, somewhat. But this woman was definitely a heroine for the whole movie.
Yeah, she was primary character the whole movie.
Usually the woman character is the strongest with a male supporting person who is like silently supportive.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting.
I'm trying to psychoanalyze Miyazaki just because I've seen so many of his films.
I know.
You can't help it. It's just what he likes.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay. So, Lost in the Wind, pretty interesting. So, basically, you got these people who are living in this valley, and you got this forest, and it's like 1,000 years after the world's been destroyed by these, like, mechanical monsters, and everyone's trying to figure out how to stop the forest from growing. And there's all these pollens that are poisonous that can kill you, so they go into the forest and try to get the shells of these giant beetles that protect them from other things. And anyways, it's really interesting.
I remember bits and pieces.
I really loved it.
I need to watch that movie again.
Yeah.
I shouldn't have sent it back so quick.
So that was my review. Highly recommended, Nausicaa, Valley of the Wind by Miyazaki.
All right.
Okay, you review the next one.
All right. Castle in the Sky, which we just watched last night. Or we watched it over the course of like 3 or 4 nights because we don't watch TV anymore.
It was a little bit long, though.
It was a 2-hour cartoon, which is pretty long. Anime is usually longer. But also, again, you had your primary princess character who's fallen to the earth from her home in the sky, which is this floating city. And then she has James Vanderbeek as her little friend who helps her. And there's pirates and the government and this other evil sort of agent that's really a king of the city in the sky, which you don't find out until the... Oh, I probably shouldn't say that, but anyway, it's not a big deal. So there's all these different good and evil forces trying to get this little crystal that points them to the city back in the sky. So they're all ultimately trying to find the city in the sky because they think there's either jewels or money or knowledge or...
Yeah.
So it's an adventure. If I would watch it in a straight shot, it might be more... We just broke it up so much that we... The beginning is really exciting because there's a lot of action going on.
It's definitely more comical.
But when it's more comical because they've brought in some more Disney people like James Vanderbeek. It's not your typical anime voice. And Andy Dick and some other people.
I'm pretty sure there's a few things in there that they changed the jokes or whatever to try to westernize it.
I'm sure.
Like there's this one time they're trying to talk about this big explosion. And they say, with all the power of Sodom and Gomorrah. Which I'm like, it's kind of weird because you wouldn't really say that. They may say that because a lot of things do stem from biblical things.
Maybe. True.
But, like, odds are they probably tried to, like, westernize it a little bit.
I'm sure.
So that Western audience would watch it. I mean, if they pay all these money for these really expensive American actors. I mean, the bad guy is the voice of Luke Skywalker.
Oh, yeah. We were Mark watching Hamill, the behind the scenes, and we saw him, and we're like, "Who is that, Mark Hamill?"
Finally, I looked at him enough,
and I'm like, "It's Luke Skywalker."
And the protagonist is James Vanderbeek.
He's old now,
and I don't know the girl. They didn't show the girl, but they showed the old woman.
I didn't recognize her.
The old woman, I recognize that. I don't remember her name though.
I can't either.
But she was
some famous Hollywood people.
Most people might. Well, I think if you watch
older
a lot of movies,
older people would probably know her.
Older people would probably recognize her.
Yeah,
yeah. So it was really interesting.
I recommend all Miyazaki movies. They're all worth watching.
Yeah, they're not childish. I mean, Spirited Away is oriented towards more children, I think, because it has a child actor. Totoro is, but Totoro is kind of cheesy.
Well, I liked it. I liked the cat that turned into the bus. That was pretty sweet.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
That was cool.
Totoro himself was pretty cool.
Totoro was cool. We haven't watched Kiki's Delivery Service. It's in the queue of Netflix.
Yeah, that's the sorcery one.
I think that's Witchcraft. Also more for little kids, too. It's more of a little kids bent one.
Yeah, we will eventually, I'm
sure.
We'll
eventually get it. But
this is our anime bent.
Anime bent, yeah. We watched some other anime by other people, but generally they're much more dark.
A lot of them about like vampires. And
well, the vampire one, Vampire D, I would say is good.
Vampire Hunter D was actually really good.
It was really good. It was bloody for sure.
Yeah.
But then some, like, Deep Blue we just watched, which was rated really high in the anime world, and it just was a little bit perverse, I thought. Not to the level of, like, a perverse movie, but just, it wasn't...
Well, it had, like, hentai, which is, like, Japanese anime porn.
It didn't have the innocence of the Miyazaki. Don't even think worse. About it.
Sorry.
No, it's just, like, yeah, the girl was an actress, and, you know, there's some rape scenes and some other things, like...
What was that one called?
Deep Blue.
Deep Blue. And then one had all the...
put that in the cartoon.
Yeah, it was, like, a girl band that...
There was a stalker in it, and...
It had innocent apparel that the Japanese are obsessed with. Like, you probably understand that a little bit better, because, like, in Japan, there's this big thing where women dress up, like, submissive, either, like, maids or, like, little girls. It's, like, innocent apparel.
Yeah, I forget what it's called.
You know, it's kind of like to get off on the people probably who would, like, child molest or whatever in, like, a way that's not quite as perverse. I mean, I guess... It sounds disgusting, but I'm sure if they reflected on our culture, they'd probably see a lot of things disgusting that we do. We don't think about. So you gotta be careful, I guess. Be cultural.
It's weird.
Yeah, so Vampire Hunter D was pretty good.
That was good.
But the vampire thing is definitely not for kids.
No. Yeah, really. Miyazaki's, I don't know, all the other anime seems to be a little bit too adult for kids.
The only vampire I've ever really liked was Bram Stoker's Dracula, the book. Because they don't focus on Dracula very much. They focus on all the Christian relics and things that the people do as they're following the vampire. But, like, all the movies and stuff are just getting really dark.
I like
dark.
Interview with the Vampire, but that was by Anne Rice.
Yeah.
But...
You just like Brad Pitt and Johnny Depp and all those guys.
No, yeah, that is true, probably.
Blah, 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 blah.
Anything else you want to recap? I've seen some interesting documentaries, but we're probably over time for a movie segment.
No, we're at 36 minutes. We're okay. You got to keep it under 45, I think, to be reasonable.
Well, I saw an interesting movie the other night on my Netflix computer, which is pretty sweet. It's a live streaming movie.
The Trucker movie.
The Trucker. It's a documentary about a woman who finds a Jackson Pollock painting.
A trucker woman.
A trucker woman, probably in her 80s by now, who finds a Jackson Pollock at a thrift store in California, which I love because I go to thrift stores all the time, for $5. You know, it's a humongous painting. Like, at a thrift store, I've never seen a painting that cheap, first of all, for $5. So I think they might have exaggerated that. Like, a painting that size would at least be $50 to $100 at a thrift store. Anyway, she gets a painting. You know, someone comes up to her and is like, that sure looks like a Jackson Pollock, some high school art teacher. So she goes on this big quest to try to prove that it's really a Jackson Pollock. And at one point, even gets an offer for $2 million from a private buyer and will not sell it because if it was really a Jackson Pollock, it would be worth somewhere around $50 million probably.
Yeah, 10 to 20 as much.
So it just gets into the whole art world and how there's some sort of bits of sham in terms of how you prove what's art. Like, you have to have this bill of sale type of thing that shows the ownership throughout history, and you have to have curators and critics and all the dealers and stuff, like, take you into the world. And they won't accept someone who's not part of that world.
Yeah.
Who's trying to, you know, and anyway. And
they're
so
trying to expose some of the hypocrisy. Like, yeah, if you're a famous actor, they'll let it go really fast.
And they had some DNA proof and whatnot. So that kind of gets interesting. And how do you prove, like, who did a piece of art? So that was pretty... And the woman herself is a character. They're trying to parallel her life to Jackson Pollock. They're both kind of outsiders, alcoholics a little bit, people who have estranged families, and they're kind of characters in themselves. So she was interesting just to document her life. And, I mean, to some extent, she wasn't that interesting, but she was certainly, I forget, what was the opening?
The opening
quote was so funny. I can't remember it now.
I didn't hear the opening.
You heard it. You said it was funny, too. I was like, usually... Oh, well, I can't remember. But if you ever watch the beginning of the movie, there's a really funny line at the beginning. It's something about how truckers say something versus how, like, the normal people would say it. It was really funny, but I can't remember. My memory's blanking on it, but... So I recommend it. I liked it. It's a short... It's only a little bit over an hour documentary. It's worth watching.
I think it was dirty, so we probably shouldn't have said it anyway. But
it was dirty, but it was funny.
Now that I think about it, I don't think we can repeat that in the podcast.
It was one thing you have to... Well, the name of the movie, which I haven't even said, is Who the Bleep is Jackson Pollock?
Who the Bleep is Jackson Pollock?
That is the name of the documentary.
Who the bleep is Jackson Pollock? Yeah, it was entertaining.
It was,
if you want something lighthearted, not serious.
It was lighthearted, and I liked
you
it.
You watched too many movies, you want to watch
on
something
while
different.
I was cooking, because I don't have TV anymore, so I needed some noise.
It's a documentary, but it's kind of like a pseudo-mockumentary at the same time.
Yeah.
Because it's like,
they're not really seriously trying to prove stuff, but it's,
well,
yeah,
the movie makers really don't care about the painting. And they're not trying to, like, solve it.
Right.
So at the end of the movie, they decide that the painting is Jackson Pollock. And at the end of the movie, they decide the painting is not Jackson Pollock. And the surprise is, if you're confused what I'm doing, I'm trying to tell you that I'm not going to tell you what's going to
exactly
happen at the end.
Ooh, good one. I also saw, since we're on movies,
I'm so smooth. Not
another documentary recently out, and I can't remember the name of it. Something about abortion, but you'll see it's like, it was just out this year. Following the pro-life movement in the U.S., which I think is a relevant topic with the upcoming elections. And they did, I thought they did a really good job of capturing some interesting footage. They do a lot in Michigan, which I know you'd be interested in if you didn't watch it. I watched it myself.
I'm a Michigander.
They go into a lot of towns in Michigan, which are politically active, as with all the auto industry and teachers unions and all that stuff there. University. So it's interesting. I think it gives a good look into, you know, how people protest the injustice of abortion, which I mean the movie pretty much clearly shows that it's, you know, there's this injustice happening in the U.S. and how are people dealing with it, basically. How are they interview some of the people who were abortion doctor killers, and but they also interview the people who do silent protests and people who do more graphic protesting on college campuses, Focus on the Family. Dobson's group sponsored some stuff, so I enjoyed it.
A good segue into our final segment on some theological thoughts.
All right.
Because that reminded me, like, there is a Planned Parenthood on the corner of Division and LaSalle.
We can see it from our window here.
Yeah.
From
and
our building.
It's built into a very beautiful building.
It is.
And it's very elegant. But, like, lately there has been a spike in protests by Catholics. I've decided that they're Catholics. It may not all be Catholic, because some people look like they're Amish or some other Puritan.
Really.
Nothing really convinced
me. Typically they have rosaries.
Puritan.
That's why I was saying they're Catholic.
It would make more sense to Catholic, because Catholic has a stronger belief about birth control that is more of an issue to them, because they're very defensive about birth control.
Mm-hmm.
But like almost every day there's a silent protest of people praying in front of it. And some people hold a picture of a cross or some sort of icon or relic of Christianity so that you know they are. But lately, it's kind of transitioned to people that don't even do that. They just pray, not even near the door, but like 10 steps away, facing Planned Parenthood. It's like they're praying at this establishment, the stronghold, that God would come and deliver them. It's interesting because, like, so many people ride that bus, 156.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're double buses. So they must each have 100 people on them, and there's, like, a bus every 5 minutes
mm-hmm.
who go right by those people and see that institution all the time. So it just makes me think about it. And the reason I think about that is because a lot of people talk about the Holocaust. Now, that was such a horrible thing in Germany, and people did nothing about it while this has happened. And, like, how could you just let that go? But I think more people have been killed by abortion than the Holocaust.
Oh, yeah. 36 million, I think, about.
Yeah, and we do nothing. We ride the bus. We don't think about it. We totally ignore it. And it was pretty convicting for me to think about that.
Mm-hmm.
So, do you have any thoughts about that? Put you on the spot.
I think about it a lot.
Not any profound thoughts. I mean, particularly about
thoughts.
Those protests at that.
No, I mean.
You ever see them?
I think it's they should be allowed to do silent protests. I mean, to the point where.
Did you see the volunteer people with the yellow?
Yeah, those are people helping out Planned Parenthood.
That's just so horrible.
Yeah, I think that's pretty sad, but.
I mean, I'm a volunteer for helping people kill their babies.
Should I do
it? What a noble cause.
Should I be praying about it? Yes. Should I be out there praying about it? Yes. I think that's a good thing. But, you know, should I be politically involved in this issue? Yes. But the movement has been silent to some extent lately. And I'm just trying to understand where, what should be done with it.
Well, I've dialogued, one time I dialogued about it at work, and I've sent a couple people occasionally, but really, otherwise than that, I haven't done much to contribute towards it, and it's really convicting. I mean, it's probably something I should put on my prayer list and pray about.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we really admire John Piper, and he was very active in protesting. But I think he eventually gave up because there are too many people.
Well, they made it really hard for people to protest after the abortion doctors were killed. There were a lot of rules about being arrested if you did certain things. So I think it sort of, you know, people didn't want it to be hostile.
Well, he said that every time they go protest, they would talk about, if you really want to make an effect on them, you have to be like Christ, where you silently go to the cross and just not do anything, but you're out there and praying. And he said every time they would go out there, he would say that, but people would, you know, there'd be one person who would be crazy and cause controversy and kind of like undo all of their, you know, silent humility that they were trying to protest against this atrocity.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think that, obviously he's moved on to something more important.
Not more important per se, but something that...
Well, by more important, effective. I feel like it's more effective, so right. Therefore more important.
Okay, sure.
Just because he can make more impact on the okay. kingdom. Where that is still important. So, as our final thoughts, which we're probably running low on time.
Okay.
So, is there anything that's really, like, been profound... theologically, spiritually, that you'd like to say as, like, some last words?
Well, I've been reading Psalm 37 lately and about...
127?
Is it 127?
What, the quiver?
Yes, about the warrior and the quivers in his pouch.
Oh, really?
Which can be thought of as children. So I've just been thinking about how children are a gift from God and heritage and something that should be desired, and you should want more quivers in your pouch. Thoughts?
We just did a Bible study on birth control and whether it's right or wrong for a Christian. I didn't realize it was just until recently that birth control was accepted in any of the churches. 1930.
I told you.
I thought it was just Roman Catholic.
It used to be illegal in the U.S. before abortions were used to be illegal. Birth control was illegal before that. So to even move on to abortions, they had to overcome contraception things. Because it used to be illegal even for married couples to use contraception and to buy contraception.
Hmm.
Of, you know, obviously certain means. Obviously they couldn't stop you from doing the other means of birth control.
You know, I just thought it was, like, Roman Catholic propaganda, because I know, like, you can't get divorced, but, like, they allow you to get annulled after 12 years of marriage.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is, like, hypocrisy. I'm like, you don't even follow what the word is. But then they use the Catholic, not the Catholic, but the Protestant people, Martin Luther and John Calvin, which I really respect both of those people.
Mm-hmm.
Both said it was murder to do it. So, but most of that's kind of based off of Old Testament Onan and Genesis 38. So we had this big discussion about whether it's right and wrong to have birth control. I don't want to be misleading and say it is or isn't based on what I just said, but it was just kind of entertaining to talk about that.
Well, it's an interesting topic, especially when you're married, to yeah. think about and talk about.
Yeah. So Tracy and I haven't decided totally what we believe, just as a extra kick in there. So I'm thinking that Tracy and I are going to do a Bible study on Pleasures of God by John Piper.
That's right.
I've read the first chapter.
You've already read the first three chapters?
They're really good.
We got the book on discount at the Borders
Rewards. Yeah, it has a study guide at the end. So so far, I'd really recommend it to anyone out there who may be listening. The Pleasures of God. Each chapter is like dedicated to certain pleasures of God, like pleasure in his creation or whatever. So... is there any
we'll
books or
have
influence?
An update on that soon.
Listening, any podcasts or anything you like? Just as a last thought.
I'm working my way through Lies Women Believe and
by who?
Also on Children, Nancy de la Mas. And
is that a podcast or a book?
It's
or?
A book and a study. I'm doing both.
Is it for everyone or?
It's mainly for women. Oh, I don't really think a man would get a lot out of Lies Women Believe, but
you never
know. And I'm listening to my standards podcast, Greg Kokel and Town Hall. I'm getting more into the political podcast to get riled up about the elections. Not too much, but just enough.
Yeah, a lot of people are talking about Huckabee quite a bit.
Yeah.
Once
I started talking about Huckabee, it was like this whole wave of Huckabee. It's like I sensed.
Well, out of nowhere, he suddenly is like legitimate. Like he has a chance.
It's interesting.
People are so fed up with the other people. They were like,
that, yeah.
I don't care. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. I'm like, I realize I have to make a decision. Is there anybody?
People have a lot of influence.
Yeah, I guess.
Dobson comes out. A lot of people listen to Dobson.
Yeah.
I listen to Dobson.
Well, there's a lot of things we'd love to talk about, so we'll face that to another podcast.
Yeah, we got
to
move
so
on.
So just as a question to end the podcast, out of all the animals in the world, would you be rather a chicken or a turtle?
Oh. I thought we already established that was a turtle chicken.
That's a good answer. Turtle chicken.
Turtle chicken, the best.
I will be a turtle
worlds.
Chicken as well.
You're a chicken bear, but you can be a turtle chicken if you want.
No, it's okay. I'll be a chicken bear. You'll be a turtle chicken.
You can be.
And we are.
Chicken bear in boots.
Peas.
Peas.
In.
A.
Pod.
Cast.
Bye. Cheers.
Thank you.
Hey. What are you doing? That's mine.